This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Talking Heads with Nancy and MJ is brought to you by Burger King, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, KFC, Muff the World, Nassau Cruise Port, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Gyros.
Treat you like a slave, put chains all on your soul and put whips up on your back. They be lying through their teeth, hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they see. That's how that shit tell me, man, that's how my daddy raised me. That glittering may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause a brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up.
You've got a lot to know that Tuesday, Monday, July 13th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty and MJ and company right up until 6 p.m. on this Monday edition. And we're back at you on this Monday, July 13th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty and MJ and your company. MJ, what's popping?
I'm here.
I can't say what's good because not too much good to report about. I mean, I'll be honest with you, coming in from last weekend. Well, last week, I mean, Muff, you started off an avalanche of I don't know what. After that, I met with tragedy on Independence holiday and more tragedy over the remaining portion of the weekend.
And absolutely.
What is going on?
Just a brutal, brutal weekend. I think we definitely should start by giving our condolences to the families, friends, loved ones of those who lost their lives
and
in the plane crash.
Including Franklin Cambridge.
Yeah.
Taniqua Gillott. Mateo Winder. New Mateo, all these very talented Bahamians, okay? Oh, God. Melvin Hemphill, DJ Fresh. I cannot believe I got to read DJ Fresh now. I'm so to everyone who was involved in this tragedy. Giovanni McKenzie, Gio. I've known Gio and watched him come up. Quentin Myers. Macaro Road. Rashad Starr, Shadi, Travis Johnson, and Nicholas Oliver Jr. To all 10 souls lost on board, our thoughts and prayers go out to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your bandmates. It is such a tragedy. And obviously we have to mourn MJ, and we have to comfort those families and pray for their comfort and for their healing, because it is a blow, an unexpected blow.
Yeah.
But we also have to answer questions so these kind of tragedies can be eliminated for future reference.
Yeah, this is quite a blow, you know, quite a blow to the country. It was so like sudden and shocking. And then, you know, we had for a moment hope that there would be one survivor, Macaro Roll, and then we later learned that he too had passed away from his injury. So it's a lot that we as a country, as a community, had to reckon with.
I just want to interject, though. Yes. I do want to commend all the workers who went down there.
Yes.
At the rescue site and all. That's not an easy thing. But listen, I want to tip my hat to Kelson Fowler, was stayed at the side of plane crash victim Macaro Road, covering his entire burned body. We close off the back, praying with him, which is so important, and contacting the victim's loved ones by cell phone. They waited in the bushes near the smoldering crash site for help. I mean, that must be something that nobody really wants to go through, but if they have to go through it, they're there. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Kelson.
And he did it. He stayed with him for 2 hours. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, that must, like you said, that must have been a very difficult thing to do. I cannot even begin to imagine what that feels like, you know, having to experience that. But yes, he did a stellar job, and we do tip our hat to him for being able to do that for his friend, to be there for him one last time, you know?
It's so many elements to this, so many layers to this onion. And obviously you want to deal with the sympathetic nature of it, because people have lost their families. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the most important part.
But we have to ask at some point, the who, the what, the why, the when. You know what I mean? What happened? How did it happen? Why did it happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think right now, you know, you don't want to speculate, because we do have this. We did get a statement from the Ministry of Transport, you know, that they're the ministry that the Aviation Accident and Investigation Authority falls under. And they did give a prompt response after the accident, after the plane crash, that they will be and were, according to the Commissioner of Police, on the scene, you know, quickly in Bahamian terms and investigating. So we do want to give them an opportunity to go through the process, to do all due diligence, and to let us know exactly, you know, what happened. Because even though we are at a place where all of our attention and all of our sympathy should be focused on the families and, of course, the loved ones of those that we lost, we still have planes in the air, right? We still have, you know, institutions with oversight and authority, and we have to be sure. And this is for every passenger that's boarding a flight right now, that's going on a flight this evening, tomorrow morning. We have to know that our institutions are strong and that they're going to respond quickly to incidences like this, just to shore up and make sure that everything that should be happening is happening. Because, yes, I heard someone say earlier, accidents will happen. Accidents will happen, but...
But accidents can also be prevented and avoided.
But prevented to happen. And I think that's an important distinction that we should always keep in mind. So if there are any outstanding issues, I expect our institutions to respond with the level of urgency. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. used to talk about the fierce urgency of now. I expect them to employ that, because when it comes to aviation, the room for error is quite, the margin is quite, to expect them to do, make sure that, you know, that is functioning properly, that they have sufficiently done, and that they, you know, continue to perform in a way that gives the Bahamian public confidence when we get on an airplane that, you know, all of the I's have been dotted and the T's have been crossed.
And when you look at it, I mean, there are several ministries and authorities that are involved in making this travel, and they're all intertwined. And it could have a domino effect if something were to go haywire. So obviously, we do need the correct analogy for this, because I don't, you know, you got the AAIA, you got CAB, so on and so forth.
So I think CAB falls under the Ministry of Aviation.
Right, and then, that would be, CAB would be Civil Aviation Authority Bahamas.
Correct, and then there's the Aviation Accident, and that's the AAIA, which falls under the Ministry of Transport, from what I understand.
And remember, the Director General of the Civil Aviation Authority in the Bahamas is Ms. Chiquita Johnson.
Right.
And then obviously, the top aviation leader in the Bahamas is Dr. Kenneth Roma, who serves as the Director of Aviation and Deputy Director General in the Ministry of Tourism, Investments in Aviation.
Yeah. All right. So I'm sure we'll hear a lot more from those, from, you know, the respected officials in the various authorities over the next few days.
IA is Mr. Kendall Dorsett.
Yeah, we should hear from all of them over the next few days. You know,
obviously, I don't expect for them to come today with answers to the whole entire scenario, but
no.
A statement saying that we are going to get light to the end of this tunnel. You can follow us. It's going to be in the front pages. It's not going to dip to the back pages. And we're going to put in place from this tragedy. We're going to use this to prevent future tragedies from happening.
Where possible. No,
correct.
No, absolutely. And you just have to look at the way that they respond to aviation accidents in other parts of the world.
There are protocols in other parts of the world that are severely lacking.
The deference in what they're going through. So you may see a situation where, as we're seeing now, we have some names out there, but I don't know if they've been officially released yet. We understand that. But you also see a quick mobilization, right? You see a quick mobilization, quick evaluations. I suspect and would hope that things are being done right as we speak to ensure that something like this, like I said, where preventable, never happens again. You will have accidents, but the ones that we can,
avoid,
and the ones that we can avoid, those
and
are definitely...
And if there's safety measures and protocols, then we say, oh, man, I already agree to that. No. Dot your I's, cross your T's.
One area that I do think deserves some attention as well was the response on Noble, as that young man was staying with his friend. I mean, 2 hours is a very long time.
Long time.
Aviation incident. And that's something, of course, that needs to be fixed as well, right? We've seen these emergencies, the large-scale emergencies, right? Even if you look to last week when we were talking about the fire in Bimini, where the response and the ability of the responders to do what is necessary seems to be hampered because of, you know, either logistics or you know, things missing. And so I think when we look at this past weekend, when we look at this past week, when we look at this past month, the last few years, we have to start asking ourselves, are we moving in a direction that when things like this do happen, we're in a better position as a country to respond to emergencies? And I think that question is still on the table.
Let's get to the phone lines. We got some calls. Talking Heads.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let me turn down my radio for a minute. Someone jumped in my vehicle just jumped out of my vehicle a few minutes. But normally my radio is always on. And they changed the radio station. And right now,
the next time they get your car right in the back of the neck, slap them in the back of the neck,
yeah.
And change your channel. Wow.
And I heard Cassie start to something very interesting just now. He said, when your leaders don't listen to God, the people suffer. And he said, count how much tragedies we have had for the past, since the election to now, where people are. And that's a serious statement right there. Because he said, progress, even our leaders was chanting progress straight through. What happens when your leaders are progressing you in the wrong direction? And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. I think the second question is a more legitimate question. I can't, it's not a comfortable thing to kind of pontificate on whether, without like full evidence, whether or not they believe in God or whether or not this has a supernatural aspect to it. I'm just not comfortable going. Not comfortable going there, but I understand.
A lot of are comfortable going there, though. Let me get to I've seen
the stuff online. I've seen it.
This is a text that says, "Not an MJ." This is from Randy Butler on Friday. How many more accidents and deaths? The recommendations are there for a reason. More regulation doesn't make you safe. You need quality management systems. There are telltale signs, but these are warning signs. You don't wait until people die before starting to pay attention. People are dying all over the place in preventable incidents. These are catastrophic system failures.
And that, I think, is a valuable...
valid point.
Valuable perspective, because that's the thing, right? We cannot control everything. There will be just what we may call, freak incidents where things go awry and you wonder, you know, why did that happen? But for the things that we can prevent, right? It is incumbent upon the persons entrusted to prevent these kinds of incidences to do their jobs. And I don't think that it's an unfair thing. thing to ask them to kind of get on top of it. I was reading an article in one of the dailies that talked about, you know, just myriad instances where maybe a closer eye should have been paid to some of these airlines. Don't know if that's happened. I hope that's one of the questions that's answered when we eventually do get answers. But yeah, we have to, the things that we can control, we have to control. And I don't think that it's unfair to say to our leaders, you know, we expect better, we expect more, we expect more due diligence, we expect more work. Since you have oversight over, I mean, do your job.
Andrea, that's a lot of wishful thinking. Enjoy listening to you every day. But I am still waiting to hear from the election day crash. All we can do is speculate. I'm not expecting anything different with this.
This is very interesting because, you know, people will speculate. We did have a crash on election day. Then we were told that there was going to be an investigation, kind of. Then we had the minister who was asked about a particular crash. And then it seemed to be, you know, run away from that question. But that's not what we need from our leaders. We don't need people running away or walking away from uncomfortable questions. We need to figure out how best to shore up our system, shore up our institutions, so that we could, you know, avoid future tragedies.
Nadia and Andrea, I don't understand why more pressure has not been applied to this company. From October 2023, the Aircraft Accident Investigation Authority said yesterday it is investigating an incident in which the aircraft passenger door of a Flamingo Air flight opened in flight. We remember that incident. Good afternoon, Nadia and MJ. I wonder if JoBeth Kobe-Davis had done her job, had not been so dismissive to the reporter asking about the last plane crash, if she had to provide details about checks that were being done on all airlines, given reports neither the pilot nor the plane were licensed for flight. If this flight could have been avoided, it should have been.
Yeah, well, again, we don't have the details on this particular flight.
And there are a lot of details that you can't find out because there's such a, for lack of a better word, a lot of rogue operators out there. We can't find out who is who and what is what, and that's crazy.
That's also an issue, but again, that's something that, you know, the relevant authorities should be looking at. Like today, I would imagine there would be a flurry of work to make sure everybody is, you know, in possession of the documents that they should have, that the inspections are done, that the spot checks are, I think they call them ramp checks, that the ramp checks are done. Like, we really need to work harder. You can't just say, oh, things are getting better, oh, we're doing that, because in not executing, that's where we see the problems arise. You know, a lot of people could talk a good game.
It's in the details. It's in the follow through.
If you don't follow through, that's going to be a problem.
Lack of consistency in business is always a problem. Listen, if you know that every day you got to check that back door, you got to check the front door, the side door, the luggage, the weight, then do it. Don't take a day off. It could be a deadly, costly mistake.
One thing
Afternoon, Naughty and MJ, is there any truth to Pineapple Air not flying anymore? Now, I haven't heard any reports that Pineapple Air is not flying. I know Flamingo Air has been grounded.
Right, and they don't want us to draw an adverse conclusion because they have been grounded. As for Pineapple Air, I haven't heard much about that. But I think that's why it's important that you quickly get answers, because then people are going to start speculating. People are going to form opinions around things that may not be, you know, may not be the case at all. So yeah, I think that's why it's important. And I expect to hear, like, later today, tomorrow, follow up. This can't be something where it's just, okay, they're investigating. Because an
official statement is made.
Yeah, an investigation, and that's being handled by the Ministry of Transport. That's happening on one side of it. But we can't wait 6 months before we start asking, like, the tough questions and start, you know, making sure that certain things are done on civil aviation side, you know?
But I follow the recommendations in the report from the last Flamingo airplane crash. There's nothing new to discover.
And I hear him. He's an expert in the industry. And so that's also a question. Are there recommendations sitting on the table that have not been followed through? And if not, why not?
Remember, Naughty and MJ, remember in September 2025 when the whole country was up in arms because a lady in Long Island had to be taken for attention on the back of a truck. The PM said, we must guarantee equity. It should not matter if you're in Nassau, Inagua, Exum, or Cat Island. Every Bahamian deserves the same chance at care.
Yeah, and that goes back to the first responders, you know, and, you know, the logistics. We know we have logistics problems. You know, we're an archipelagic nation. we don't seem to have nearly as many resources as we could actually use. Sometimes we have distant settlements. We get all of that. But, I mean, 2 hours, that's, I don't think that's acceptable. No.
Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. They will begin to do something when the U.S. issues a ban on their citizens taking any Bahamian-managed flights. Ouch. The system is not just broken, it's actively breaking down in real time. This isn't spiritual. This is the result of lack of preventative maintenance. Carelessness and incompetence can be mistaken for evil sometimes.
I mean, that's what I often say. I don't put anything to malice that could easily be explained by incompetence, because I think that's the more prevalent human condition, you know, which is that we just don't do some things that we ought to be doing.
This is, you should be able to expect certain protocols when you pay your money for a flight.
Yeah.
There are standards that we expect when we use foreign entities. There should be standards that we expect when we use our entities.
Yeah. And like I said, everywhere else around the world, this kind of an incident would,
all right,
would give us an immediate and a strong response.
I'll double check it. My Northern MJ, Pineapple Air is no longer flying, unrelated to the July 10th crash.
Okay, we'll check on that. I haven't heard that, but we can check on it.
Good afternoon, MJ and Naughty. General aviation section is just like the other business. Those who are law-abiding and those who are hackers. All right, I guess it's time to take a break.
Yep.
Just stay in the bed. So we'll get to the break. Flip side of the break. We'll be right back at you right here on the Monday, July 13th edition of Talking Heads with Naughty and MJ, which continues right after this.
Hey, come in, don't tell my Grammy break, Johnny, okay? Tell the DJ play some reggae, okay? From the island, I ain't from those days. Buy my ticket and I on my way. Hey, come in, don't tell my mommy break, Johnny, red. Tell my cousin, I won't
pride themselves on offering multiple services. At Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center, imaging is what we do. Same goes for imaging at Grosvenor. Whether you need an x-ray, mammogram, CAT scan, or ultrasound, we have a team of board-certified radiologists on staff, on site, each with their own area of expertise. Results are submitted to your doctor within 24 hours. Call us to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can beat it, just give us a call. Let print my life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey kids, are you ready? It's back, the Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp. July 27th to 31st at the Kendall Isaacs Gym, 2 to 5 p.m. daily, and August 3rd to 8th, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for boys and girls from 5 to 18. Come enjoy the thrills of the big game alongside NBA legends and current superstars Michael Sweetbell Thompson, Michael Jr., Klay Thompson, Buddy Hield, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Registration forms available now at the Seventh-day Adventist offices on Tony Williams Darling Highway. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. With fine taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
Dive in hot with the new KFC Dunk Buffalo Ranch. A crispy ranch chicken sandwich with buffalo sauce on the side. For just $8.95, get messy with it and dunk it how you want it. KFC, it's finger looking good.
Everybody dunk!
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's like, oh,
like go, place like go, there ain't no place like go. I stand, tell me pack my clothes, them boy. Jump them, must see, think I homeless, boy. Need a doctor, cause I homesick, boy. Thank the Lord I get on home. I come in home, tell my grammy break, Johnny, okay. Tell the DJ play some reggae, okay. And I ain't from those days. Buy my ticket and I on my way. I come in home, tell my mommy break, Johnny, red. Tell my cousin I won't call her back. Tell the DJ play some reggae, okay. From the island, I ain't from no state. I come in home, it ain't no place like home. Ain't no place.
We're
like
back
home.
At you on Monday, no July 13th edition of Talking Heads. Buddy and I'm giving you company right up until 6 p.m. And MJ, here we go. I just did a quick search. And we got one thing we got to do is get information correct so we know exactly what is what. We've had reports that Pineapple Air is no longer flying. I last checked. Said Pineapple Air is still actively flying and operating in domestic routes within the Bahamas. If you've heard rumors that they stopped operating, it's likely due to confusion surrounding a high-profile incident on March 19th, 2026, where one of the aircraft suffered a landing gear failure.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, it says the airline continues to operate, and you can check flight schedules, make reservations, and find contact numbers for their LPIA outlet terminals directly on Pineapple Air website. Or by emailing info@pineappleair.com.
Yeah, we know that Flamingo Air is the one that is no longer flying and has in fact offered its customers refunds. I think their offices are open Mondays through Thursdays, so they're gonna be offering refunds. So they're grounded. But yeah, so far that's the only thing that we can certainly confirm.
Let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. All right, caller. We got the caller, Mr. Producer, or they need to call us back? All right, caller, hit us back, please. But that's the problem, speculation. When you don't get pertinent information right away, or you're not used to giving pertinent information right away, then it leads to speculation.
And I think that's what it is. I think that people are so used to that vacuum that they think, oh, well, I'm going to just say whatever because I know I'll never hear otherwise. And that's the problem.
A big thing yesterday on a lot of wannabe social media, quote-unquote media outlets, which are just basically trash rags. You get people point fingers at a former cabinet minister and at a current cabinet minister that they own Flamingo Airlines. And I will tell, caller, we're coming to you right now. Hang tight. Flamingo Airline is a privately owned Bahamian domestic airline company owned and led by Captain Raymond Meadows, who serves as president. And Captain Vincent Colebrook, who serves as CEO. Key executives and leadership, President Captain Raymond Meadows, CEO Captain Vincent Colebrook, General Manager Sharon Meadows, Chief Executive Pilot Raymond Meadows. That is the executive.
That's the latest information that we have.
So adding anybody who you want to throw in there does not make it the case. But let's get to the call real quick, and then we got some more questions. Talking Heads.
Hey, what's up, Naughty and MJ?
Hey, good afternoon.
All right, man. I haven't called for a while, man. But listen, man.
What's going on
again
with you? You all right? You good? Yeah, I haven't heard from you. You good?
Yeah, man. I good.
Check on all our listeners, brother. We got to check on all our listeners.
I'll preface my statement by saying this, right? I'm proud of being Bahamian, you know?
Yeah.
I drive a taxi in the world as far as I'm concerned, right?
You absolutely do.
I love the Bahamas, but I don't like this heat. The older you get, the worse it'd be, right? But I'll say this, right, Naughty, MJ, right? As a Bahamian, I look at the Bahamas, right? And if we were an eight-cylinder car, we're not operating on all cylinders. I mean, to be honest, I can't find one government industry, right, ministry, right, that operate on eight cylinders. I can't name one. Because you look at a guy who got shot, the gentleman got shot the other day, Mr. Moxie, right?
Another tragedy, too.
The gentleman was on bail. I mean, how could you be on bail and you be by the Manos? I mean, isn't there some specifications? You should be tampering with witnesses. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Something's wrong. See, I don't know if we need more, the people, if we need more training in government or the whole work sector. But something is definitely wrong. I mean, the Flamingo Airline tragedy. I had a fellow taxi driver. His son was a pilot, right? So they're distraught right now, right? And I think an accident was quite interesting to see what the amendment records say. And that should be made public because people need to know what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
But I'll say this, right? The technocrats in these ministries, they need to do their jobs. I know there's political pressure from everywhere, right? But people need to do their jobs. If people can do their jobs, I think the bomb must be a much better place. But people just aren't doing their jobs.
And like I always say, caller, it's too much all buck up go, and that's what happens.
Thank you, caller. I think you raised, some
good points.
Good points. That is one of the questions and like I said, the investigation is one part. We're going to let that play out. That's on the Ministry of Transport. But as far as Ministry of Aviation, that is something that does have to be made public. You know, all of the maintenance, the maintenance records, whether or not there's been any sort of like comprehensive operational as well as safety audit by the Civil Aviation Authority. How many of those have been done in the past 24 months? Were there any deficiencies identified? Was there any corrective action recommended? And did that happen? Was there follow through? So these are questions that we can ask aviation now while Ministry of Transport continues their investigation into the actual crash.
Accident. Let's get back to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty, I'm Jake.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Afternoon.
Hey, you good? I ain't heard from you in a minute either. You good? You all right?
What's going on?
I said, I heard from you in a minute either. I want to make sure all our callers good, man. You
good?
Yeah, man,
all is well, man. All is well, man. Okay. That was a sad thing from a boy, Muff.
That hurt my heart.
Yeah, man, that's a sad thing. But I calling in on the boxing, the boxing place where they built the government built.
Right.
Yeah, I found out that they leasing it out to a foreign entity. When you have persons like Philip Pratt here and other boxers here, summertime now, all these little boys in the road doing a bunch of foolishness. Understand, they could have been in the boxing arena trying to do that, whatever they got going on in their life in the boxing ring. You know what I mean? Trying to find out why the government leased that place, a government building, the only government boxing into a foreign entity.
Well, apparently it was leased to a foreign entity. They put allegedly into that boxing facility, and they're also partnered with local boxing clubs that have been on Talking Heads before. They will get them back on Talking Heads and the press box. Keishno Major is one that can speak to it. I know they're doing some programs down there. Do I think, I don't want to scoff at the gift and the improvements that they made down there. I think we could have done that ourselves without a foreign investment. But
that's what I'm saying.
Investments. If the foreign investors actually do get these kids off in boxing internationally, like they've claimed that they plan to do.
They don't know these kids, man. They don't know these kids.
I wonder how many camps and activities are really functioning and thriving.
Exactly. Because
you see these kids all over Hell's Half Acre for the summer. I hate to say it like
all
that.
All over the place, all over the road, downtown, everywhere these little boys is, man. They could direct their things something more productive for the men, and that's really disturbing. I just thought to see the day, man, down right by the on the Bay Street, and he is very upset, man.
The day that we could get properly instructed and properly coached Pop Warner football at an early level here, and instituted into high schools, that will serve as a conduit for plenty of young men getting scholarships, so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Look at sports that are not on the regular and look at the talent that we have. But like I said, there is something awry because we got a lot of programs coming up when we were small, when we could do things. There are not a lot of things for kids to do now. And props to Jeff Rogers. I heard the commercial playing again. Props to him for doing his thing going on, 30-some years? Big up to Jeff. We got to get Jeff on the show before.
Yeah, that's an excellent.
Muggsy Bogues still coming back. Muggsy Bogues still coming back from that time.
Muggsy Bogues is a legend. People don't understand that Muggsy Bogues came from Dunbar High School, one of the premier high school programs in America. Went on to Wake Forest University at under 6 foot, way under 6 foot, almost just barely above 4 foot, and turned that into a great pro career. along with Manute Bol in Washington and other destinations. In Charlotte, he's a legend in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I can't wait to see Muggsy because MJ and I had the privilege of several summers Muggsy attending Laugh Fest that we did. And Muggsy is a huge fan of stand-up comedy. So I can't wait to see Muggsy. And I know MJ does Muggsy too because she's actually taller than Muggsy.
I think I am. In heels for sure. In heels
you
for
are.
Sure. I can't believe what he was able to accomplish.
The phone lines real quick. Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty MJ, what's happening, man?
Hey, good afternoon.
We hear from you, but cool. I want to make sure you're good. You good, brother? Everybody good with you and yours?
Hey, Rachel, one of the dollars, four flat tires on the Volkswagen. I can't complain.
You holding it down, bro. That's down.
Hey, but let me ask you a question. What other industry is on the brink of catastrophe because of lack of oversight? And here's why I say that, right? What's the safety or what's the maintenance procedure on public bus? Who oversight the maintenance or the safety of these public bus on the road? The mail boat services, they carry passengers.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
These
ferry boats that carry people to different islands. The jet ski operators. What oversight is there that they operate safely and they conduct business right?
No, you raise a good point, caller, because maybe we're at the point where we need to look at many different industries and get it right and implement those safety measures, you know, because this tragedy has spurred us into some sort of action. No, you make a good point.
And not just transportation. What about BPL?
What type
of plants are they in? What's stopping them from oil being on the ground, fuel being on the ground, the right conditions, and boom, you got an explosion. God forbid.
The ministry, funny enough, the Minister of Energy today said that the upgrades to the transmission and distribution system should be completed by next month. But I don't know what next month means. That's just so vague, you know. What's next month?
What about the existing power plant in Abaco?
Yeah.
In Andres? In the Family Islands? You see what I'm saying? Where's the oversight to make sure that these, that they operate safely?
You see what about a good job for Bahamians? Because I'm sure, like, we all want things to run better. I'm sure there are many Bahamians out there that will step up to the plate and fill these roles if there's a lack of, enough persons filling these roles. But we got to do it. We got to make the changes and we got to make sure we follow through.
You know, in my industry, we have something what you call a near miss. A near miss is when something almost happened.
Right.
So then you would make the necessary corrections to prevent it from happening. So again, go to a corner, we see the stop sign is covered by bush or the stop sign is missing. And you end up overstepping the road.
Yeah.
Who reports that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who makes sure it gets fixed? Who follow up on it? You see what I'm saying?
You know, there's departments throughout America called...
Just an illustration of what a near miss is.
But listen, call it. There's divisions and departments in the United States throughout called City and Park. And their job is to maintain the city and maintain the park, meaning they will go and say, okay, BPL was to put in a new transformer here. Let's double check. Yep, on the corner of this and the corner of that, brand new transformer installed to the T. Everything is working and functioning good. 6 months later, BPL, you need to come fix that new transformer you put in. The bush has overgrown it. You didn't put a covering on it. The bush is now covered it up. People can't see it. It's a fire hazard. Same thing with speed bumps, spotlights, all of that.
When it isn't done, where's the oversight? Where's the department?
Where's
the agency? Where's
somebody
the
needs to be.
I agree with you because I think the public will give feedback. Like, I know we have this new app now. You're supposed to report potholes. But let's say you keep reporting it and you see it ain't getting fixed. How much longer do you think people could keep reporting it? So, we can get feedback. But we need action, you know?
Well, where's the app? Where do you jump on a public bus and the door can't close?
Right.
You know, where's the app when you go on the airplane and the window fly open? You got to hold the teleplane line.
I
you see what I'm saying?
I hear you, Carl.
Good stuff,
Carl. I agree with you completely.
Appreciate your points as always. Let me get back to the text lines. Naughty and MJ, two plane crashes in less than 3 months is a major red flag. Have we heard of any brand new strict regulations implemented at the airport yet? Or is it business as usual? Good afternoon, Naughty. Corruption, corruption, corruption. It's all throughout this country. If you look at it really good, from top to bottom, we are corrupt.
I wouldn't say from top to bottom we're corrupt, but I can tell you now, reality has a way of inserting itself and making itself known, right? So you have persons that go about and all they do is they say stuff, you know, oh, everything is great. Oh, we're doing X, Y, and Z. Oh, we're going to bring 24 fire engines in. And then something happens and then reality shows you, you know something? That was just words.
All right,
no follow through.
And we got, you don't forget, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, our special guest is Belinda Wilson, Bahamas Union of Teachers and National Alliance of Trade Union Congress President. And she's going to be with us. We're going to have a conversation with her. But before we get to our 5 o'clock portion, let's get this wrapped up. Let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I too would like to offer heartfelt condolences to all of those who are bereaved. I can only imagine, because it's only those who feels it most, knows it most. But I'm just wondering, with all that is going on, with all the sadness, do we understand that in another few weeks, there will be another family island activity? And what then? Are we changing anything? Or have we become more cognizant of what it is that we need to do? Because remember, there's going to be repeat activities, traffic on the family island to the same thing. So all of those who are listening, I just need to know that we're not just talking, but we are advocating and putting things in place to make a change. And again, condolences to all of those who are bereaved. Both of you, enjoy your evening. I will continue to listen to you. You always do an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You have a great evening yourself.
I love what that caller said. We can't just talk about it. I mean, it has to be some concrete action, you know?
Correct. Let's get back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Not in, MJ.
Hey, good afternoon.
MJ, I call. Firstly, I want to give condolences to all of the families that have been affected throughout our weekend. The tragedy is left, right? Better. But something in particular, MJ, I'd like you to follow up on. You would remember there was when the commissioner of police first came in, she was, her and the prime minister, they were about this thing where she ordered or was ordering some fire equipment. Fire hydrants and some fire trucks and stuff like that. There was this big public story about it. I just recently spoke to a family member of someone that was in Angus on the weekend, and they said to me, Mandela, we only had fire equipment to help us to sort of it only stem the fire. We may have had our loved ones, if only in better condition than they are, than to just have to let them burn. Because of the state of that. Where are we with furnishing these islands and our city here in New Providence with the necessary essential equipment for firefighting?
Yeah.
We were told that the equipment was ordered, or it was presumed that the equipment was ordered. However, there's been no follow-up on where the equipment is. Just get somebody to give you the tracking number, please, MJ.
Yeah, no, we're going to continue to follow that, because funny enough, after the fire in Bimini last week, we did have Dr. Andre Rollins on as a guest last week, and we talked a little bit about this, and we were even able to pull up the clip where the director of communication talked about these fire engines that were going to be ordered, and, you know, this whole program was under the remit of the commissioner of police. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. We were told that, but once again, reality has inserted itself and made it quite clear that we are not where we thought we were.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. We got your call, or you need to call us back? All right, I guess we dropped that one. Let me check some of these texts that are coming in fast and furious as well, MJ. Okay, here it goes. The system is not just broken, it's actively broken down in real time. This isn't spiritual. This is a result of lack of preventative maintenance, carelessness, and incompetence. Can be mistaken for evil sometimes. Good afternoon, MJ. Naughty General Aviation Section is just like any other business. Those who are law-abiding and those who are rogue. Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. My condolences.
Can I just say, because I think you had read that text before, and that person said something very interesting. It said general aviation is, you know, like every place else, you have law abiding, you have rule. I think that when the stakes are higher, the oversight should be higher. There should be no such thing as rogue. in aviation. There should be no such thing as
any industry
should
be regulated.
Not at any, but we accept that it's going to happen, correct?
Correct.
But when the stakes are higher, the bar is also higher. And that shouldn't be happening. It's not like for national security purposes, an airport and all airports aren't supposed to be things that are subject to oversight. So, yeah, you may have a rogue person, vendor on the beach, for example. That's one thing. A rogue operation out of an airport? Are we serious? Can't be.
Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. My condolences to all those who lost their life in the plane crash. May their souls rest in peace. Off topic, BPL has done it again. The power went off in the South shortly before 2 today, and it is still off. This is in progress. This is in progression. This is regression.
Aye, aye, aye.
Good day, Naughty and MJ. Praying for all the families who lost their loved ones. Does this nothing burger government really care? Who gives school kids a breakfast break? The PM? Healthcare, education, immigration, and national security is hot topics because nobody knows who is in the country, much less who on these flights. No more groundbreaking. We get in our cars destroyed by enough potholes. Let real men run this country. God is not pleased. Good evening, Naughty and MJ. Caught the tail end of the conversation. What happened to Muff? We sadly lost Muff to a massive heart attack early last week. And Mr. Lord throws a morning Muff on top of all of this.
Yeah, I'm still dying.
Thanks for inquiring. Naughty and MJ, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but it seems as if all the ministries under Joe Beth Kobe Davis are falling apart. Naughty, you may be right. She may have the nanny touch.
I think
the last caller who asked where we at with equipping our islands. We spent $140 million on parks and beaches, so we will progress with more. Anyway,
I guess I'll get to the break. Deepest condolences to the families and the loved ones and the friends of those that we lost. May their souls rest in peace.
We're going to get to the break. Flip side of the break. The news is coming up. Right out of the news, we'll be into the 5 o'clock hour with our special guest, Belinda Wilson. And we'll be talking teachers union. And we'll be talking potential new teachers in from Ghana, as well as some other situations going on there. So keep it right where you got it. The fully loaded 13th edition with Naughty and MJ continues right after this.
From the island, I ain't from no state. I come in home. It ain't no place like 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 home. They must see think I swipe. Oh, they must see think I swipe. So don't treat me like no refugee. Thank the Lord I get a warning. I coming home. Don't treat me like no alien. Just to make your country great again. My passport say Bahamian. And I brought away from
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Pentagon Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Pentagon, dream big, we will. Pentagon Island Game, we got you. Percy Pentagon, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, go play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Summer's here and KFC's got summer buckets just for you. Every bucket starts with 8 legs and thigh pieces of your favorite chicken plus 4 golden biscuits. Grab the value bucket for just $20 or go big with our mega bucket packed with everything you need for summer fun on the beach, the road. Need more? Add 4 Pepsis, Fountain Fries, or the new mango dessert biscuit for only $5. KFC's summer buckets have big flavor, big value, and finger-licking good chicken only at KFC Now.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Bless like go. I stand, tell me pack my clothes, them by. Jump them, must see, think I homeless, by. Need a doctor, cause I homesick, by. Thank the Lord I get on home. I come in home, tell my Grammy break the joint, okay. Tell the DJ play some ratings, okay. From the island I ain't from, no stay. Buy my ticket and I on my way. I come in home, tell my mommy break the joint, okay. Tell my cousin I won't call her back. Tell the DJ play some ratings, okay. From the island I ain't from, no state. I come in home, it ain't no place like home. 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 It ain't no place
We're
like home.
We're back at you on the Monday, July 13th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty and MJ and your company right up until 6 p.m. And we're into the 5 o'clock hour. And let me just get to the text lines real quick before we get to our special guest. Let me knock some of them texts out that we had going into the break. Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Since you have been on the air, you have seen a change for the better. Have you seen a change for the better? Question mark. The people in charge don't have to answer to anybody. Business as usual. They get paid on time and don't give a hoot. You're just listening in the dark. It's so sad. Keep up the efforts. Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Naughty, sorry to ask this, but it seems relevant. While we are all grieving the loss of lives, why are no zero traffic lights working from East Bay Street and throughout the city? Correct. This is deathly negligent. Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Condolences indeed to slum police. We need to fulfill our laws on aviation. Now, Lady Belinda Wilson was said the record straight connecting concerning teachers. We need a better Bahamas for the future. Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. If I may respectfully make a recommendation, perhaps you can allocate 5 to 10 or 15 minutes of your sports hour to a longtime friend and loyal supporter of your show who have passed. Muff wrote, texted you late. We did that the day after Muff passed. We do it again on Sunday. We've been doing it. What have you been listening to?
They might have missed it, but yeah, we love.
Yeah, but don't.
We miss him a lot. We do. Thank you for that.
Okay, so don't go there. Maybe you should listen more and text less. Thanks.
Maybe they just didn't hear it. Gosh.
Listen, I am really trying. You know the whole situation with Mop Up sent me then, the tragedy on the weekend. I knew a lot of those kids coming up. The Pond Man was multi-talented, you know.
No, I know. That's the thing, too. We just lost a lot of behavior.
Young man. Mr. Oliver Jr., who passed on that flight, too. My thoughts and prayers go out to his parents, too.
Yep. Particularly since it seemed like there was a space there where they weren't even sure, you know, because his name wasn't mentioned originally. It's just, my goodness, so much work we need to do. We need to do things so much better. I love this country, but I will be lying to you if I didn't tell you that we need to build a better Bahamas, because right now, we are deficient in so many areas that we can improve on.
That word lacking, I hate to use that word lacking, but boy, we lacking a lot. All right, let's get to our special guest, and I'm glad she's here again with us, joining us. Bahamas Union of Teachers President and National Alliance of Trade Union Congress President Belinda Wilson. Belinda, how are you? All things considered, I hope you and hubby had a good holiday weekend, all things considered. But now here we are on Monday. You and I and MJ just spoke last week. You gave us an update on as to how or what was moving with the teachers. And now here comes Monday. We hear headlines of possible thousands of teachers being brought in from Ghana.
Well, 300.
Well, 300. Sorry, 300.
Yeah, I want to say good afternoon to Naughty, to you, and to MJ. But I want to start off before I go on to the to speak about the teachers. I really want to give sympathy. I did it before for the five young persons who died on Shirley Street. Sympathy to the families of the loved ones of the 10 persons who died in the plane crash. And it's touching the teaching family, our school family, because this Oliver is a student.
Yeah.
And two of our teachers are touched. So Gio's sister is a teacher, and Quentin Myers' aunt is a teacher.
Oh, wow.
And Gio is also a member of my church family, Revolution Church. Pastor Rikino Munker, and on behalf of all of our members and officers and the band members and the choir and everyone from Revolution Church and by extension the Bahamas Union of Teachers, we really want to give sympathy to those families and let them know that they're out of time.
Yes, yes.
That is so true.
Yeah, but Naughty, I don't even know where to begin, but okay.
Before you get into it, you could ask MJ. There was when I first read that, that came across my bow. There was a good old-fashioned Bahamian WMF that came out of me as a Bahamian. And I'm not even a teacher, and I feel the teachers are going through. But now this is insult to injury.
Because we saw a notice on social media that didn't come from our ministry or our leaders, but it seemed of the 300 potential Ghanaian teachers that came from their Minister of Foreign Affairs, an announcement he made on social media. Is that how did you learn of this possibility?
Okay, one of the teachers sent the social media post to me.
Oh, boy.
And the Foreign Affairs Minister from Ghana, and let me repeat, it's Ghana, because some
Ghana.
People are saying Guyana. It's
yes,
not Guyana.
It's Ghana.
Because we have Guyanese teachers in the service, and some of them have been here 25, 30 years. So we have Guyanese teachers.
Yes, and shout out to my Guyanese people who have some of the most creative adjectives in the world and most colorful vocabulary. You don't want them to get started.
Yeah, I think we've all had Guyanese teachers.
That's separated.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got a Guyanese friend right now.
Ghana. Guyanese teachers, yeah.
Yes. So
they want to fire up the Guyanese today. Because the Guyanese, yes, when they remove the blade from the sheath in their booth, they cannot return it until they draw blood.
Okay.
And our Jamaican and Cuban teachers, too. So we say thank you to all of them. We appreciate the work that they have done.
Please allow me, Belinda. Latimer and Cogelo Suave.
Yes. So thank you, teachers. But the Foreign Affairs Minister from Ghana, Samuel Okujator Ablakwa, is his name. And someone sent me the post. And when I saw it, I mean, I was eating my Sunday dinner. It's like, okay, like what next? Because we had a meeting with the new Minister of Education a few weeks back. Teacher recruitment was a part of our discussions and how teacher recruitment can be done in a more efficient and effective manner. We did not address any teachers other than those that we were speaking about from Cuba who are here, and we wanted to ensure that they will return for August 2026. But when I hear Granger, who is making the big announcement,
That struck me as well. That was strange to have such a, you know, important announcement come from a minister of another country. What are we doing? You know,
it is also my understanding that persons in the Ministry of Education had no knowledge of this. And I can say to you that I sent a note prior to coming on air to the permanent secretary asking him for the relevant information pertaining to the recruitment of the teachers from Ghana. I note that the minister, I saw he's reaching out to me. I've not responded to him as yet, but I will respond to him later this evening when I come off of the show, because we definitely have to have a heart-to-heart discussion about this. See, because we, okay, for us, let's be clear. And let me say this. I hate to get into the political discussion and argument, but I want to ask. There's a PLP person who WhatsApped me yesterday, and we were going back and forth. I hope he's listening, because I told him that he's a paid political troll. I told him that he has blind allegiance. And since he's paid, he can't think. He has a brain, but he can't think. So I hope he's listening. I'm going to try my best to be as clear and succinct as I can. The first thing I want to say is, yes, the Bahamas Union of Teachers, and me in particular, for the last 20 years, we've been saying we have a teacher. So when Minister Chester Cooper said it, I said, okay, he's not only saying it in the quiet or the closed doors, he's actually articulating it out in the open.
Right.
He said 300. Okay, where he got 300 from, I don't know.
I was going to ask you, but do you agree that the number is 300?
Agree that the number is 300. Absence of subjects.
Right.
With schools, whether the schools are New Providence, Grand Bahama, the Family Islands, what grade levels you're speaking about. See, because when you staff schools, you have to look at the timetable. You have to look at how many students are in the population of the school. And then you have to ensure that you have sufficient teachers to cover 20 periods, high school, 20 periods. To ensure that X amount of students are covered. So I don't know where he got the number 300 from. But again, an announcement is coming from a foreign minister and in a social media post.
Yeah,
not even in an official letterhead.
Agreed that is most unusual. Did the ministry, anyone reach out to you before to a particular agreement that was in place?
No, but I'm saying to you, the ministry personnel did not know about it until it hit the media and I was responding. They don't know. So it seems to me as though around the table with a drink, in independence celebration, because the gentleman said he was at the 53rd independence celebration. So right. While you drinking, you discussing that you're going to bring 300.
Yeah, he said that on the margin.
DiCaprio and Larry was at the independence celebration. That don't mean much.
I noticed that the Minister Cooper, in his response, he did not acknowledge that 300 figure specifically in that an agreement was made for that amount. He also mentioned some other countries. So I'm not quite sure exactly where we are with this and how accurate this is, you know?
But in the absence of the documentation, I have to, from our government
right.
and our Ministry of Education, I got to go by what Mr. Oblakwa said
Oblakwa
and stated.
Yeah.
And typed, because he was in the meeting. The Prime Minister and the Minister of Education, with a Prime Minister, a Minister of Education, without your technical officers from your ministry who are able to give an input.
Go ahead.
You talk about 300.
Right.
That's exorbitant.
It's a lot.
That's exorbitant. We may need 300 teachers, but we don't need 300 teachers from Ghana or from any particular country. We have a 20 actually a 22-year memorandum of understanding with Cuba. And we've been having 40 teachers from Cuba come, 50 teachers come. They stay their stint of 2 to 3 years, they return. So even with the teachers from Cuba and with the agreement that the Bahamas Union of Teachers has had for many years standing, if the government is going to recruit teachers and they're making a trip for the recruitment, the Bahamas Union of Teachers, we have sent an executive of our committee, and they are an observer in the room, in the setting, in the interview.
Yeah.
So this
keeps getting betterer and betterer and betterer.
I want to ask you this, Belinda. I know that we do have a teacher shortage. The number is being debated. I mean, it's up for debate. But I know that we have Bahamian teachers that can fill some of these vacancies. How many, I mean, can you give us an idea about how many teachers you think that we may have that aren't in the system right now that could be added to the system to fill these?
Okay, the director of education called me maybe about 2 weeks ago. And she asked me about our retirees. We right. have a vibrant retirees club, the BUT. So what I did is I sent out a note to the retirees club. I also sent a note to Grand Bahama. And I post a note throughout all of our teachers' chats. From then to now, I've gathered the teachers. Wow. Some are retirees. Some are teachers who left the service, let's say a year or two or 3 or 4 years ago. They say they have an interest in returning. Some are Bahamian teachers who are in the United States. They said they will return.
Wow.
Others are from the University of the Bahamas who did not get on last year, 2025. There are one or two from private schools. So what I'm saying is, if the director spoke to me and I told her, yes, no problem, I'm going to gather those names for you because we're working in partnership. I also said to the minister, Chester Cooper, that I am gathering a list for the director. So my thing is, even with the Ghanaian Minister of Foreign Affairs, and then that's another thing. So you're talking to the Minister of Foreign Affairs from Ghana,
right?
When I can read for you that the Minister of Education in Ghana on June the 8th, 2026, in their parliament said that they are short 50,000 to 90,000 teachers.
Oh, boy.
So you short between 50,000 to 90,000 teachers in Ghana, but you could send the Bahamas 300 teachers.
I think this a lot. Right.
This is June the 18th, 2026.
That is something that I have seen and doing some research too, that they do also have a teacher shortage in Ghana. But I think even when we look at this issue, right? Okay, there's a teacher shortage, and it looks like the ministry is moving in a direction where they want to treat the symptom. But I think we really need to get to the root cause of why there is a teacher shortage potentially in this country and how to fix that so that we have more Bahamian teachers, you know, in these particular roles. Do you think that they've made a concerted effort to fix the real problem, the issue as to why there may be a teacher shortage in this country?
Again, I mean, we've been saying over and over. Okay, so first of all, people, let's get the salary of the way. Yes, improve the teacher's salaries. Okay, how many years the school is opening? And I'm talking about, we don't have sufficient chairs. We don't have sufficient desk. Basic necessities. We don't have material. We don't have tools. We don't have the laptop. Computers. We don't have the computer lab isn't working. The internet is not connected. These are minor things that can be fixed, that can draw. Some people will say, well, I don't mind if the salary isn't high, but boy, I got a classroom. My classroom has a computer. Each child I have has a desk, as simple as that, Sam.
Yeah, no.
And a desk and a chair. So, and then respect. Let the teachers' voices in the various schools be heard. When right. teachers, you send out a survey to the teachers. You have a meeting. You ask the teachers, what is your idea or your belief or your recommendation on a certain matter? They give it to you over and over and over. And every year they come back the same recommendations that they would have given to you. They don't see any injection of those recommendations. They don't see any of those suggestions being embraced. So we need to deal with that first.
Speaking then of deal with first, go ahead, Belinda. Sorry.
So then we need to look, as I said, if I have a list, then there are approximately 60 new graduates from the University of the Bahamas who graduated in May.
Wow.
So in place as yet. So let's say, for example, my list is 30 to 40. You have 60 from the University of the Bahamas. So let's say you have around 80, 90, 100. So then that means you don't need 300.
Yeah, that's
if you've identified 80, 90, or 100 at home.
And I think that should have come first, right? Shouldn't that have come first? Don't you think that should have happened first?
Right. The other thing is, so we have 112 Cuban teachers that are in the service now.
Okay.
So how many of them will be returning August 2026? So you even make, you say, okay, that's a part of the equation.
So
once you've done that, then you have to show us. You have to show us what grade levels, what subjects, first of all, are you looking for? You say you out looking. You looking in Ghana. You looking in the U.S. Who is coming to teach in the Bahamas from the U.S. when the U.S. salaries begin? Around 65 to 70,000. Who is coming here to work from the UK when their salaries are pegged around that same amount? Who coming here to work? Who? Who coming to leave a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 job to come to the Bahamas for $25,200 and then, oh, child, we give you an increment and it's ended up to $26,000. And then we give you another increment the next couple of years and take it to 27.3. Who's coming to the Bahamas to teach for $30,000 when they're making $1,000 at home? Please tell me who.
Very few people. Yeah.
So when you said you're going to Ghana to get these teachers, we want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. What subjects are they going to teach? What age level? Where are you going to be posting them? We want to know who's vetting them. Because let me tell you something. We have student teachers who graduate from the University of the Bahamas. And some of them attend the orientation for the Ministry of Education around August, maybe around the 21st, 22nd of August. Some of them are not posted until October, November, December, the next year, January or February. And my calls to education, my calls to the public service, why aren't these persons posted as yet?
Right.
Ms. Wilson, we're waiting for them to be vetted. Mm. So you can't vet a student that the Ministry of Education and the taxpayers' money paid to send them to see the UB for 4 years. They live right around the corner from the Ministry of Education, and you can't vet them. But you could vet someone you've never seen in your life who live 5,262 miles away in Ghana. You could vet them. So you're telling me, too, that you're going to vet them. So that means that when they come and sit in your face, and me and my sister look alike, and I bring her picture on her ID, how do you know who I am? And vetting is not only for qualifications. vetting. They need to go through Interpol and whatever other agencies they have on that side of the world, because we need to know, are they pedophiles? We need to know, are they criminals? These are things that we need to know. We also know, too, is that Connor faces significant challenges with fraudulent documents. You know what they say that fraudulent documents are? Educational certificates.
Yeah.
False birth certificates.
Yeah. All right. So we have a very special guest with us in studio today. Miss Belinda Wilson, we're talking about this issue that's on everyone's mind about this potential recruitment of, what, up to 300 teachers from Ghana. We have so many more questions. Belinda, we're so thankful you're here with us today. We're going to take a quick break, and Talking Heads will be right back.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. See bun, classic style, big flavor, big protein, big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money, only at Burger King Nassau.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356.
We're good for you.
I want your tires faster than a hot 92 buck. One wheel going left, one wheel going right. While the car crying and trying to go down the road straight, Chief. You need to go into Muffler World and get your wheels aligned. Muffler World will set you on the straight and narrow in no time. With computerized wheel alignment. And since the car is up already on the rack, take them one tread tires off and get some new ones. Muffler World on Mackey Street. Got that computerized wheel alignment and brand new tires.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton Pond, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton Pond, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton Pond, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton Pond, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game, so put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Blessed like God, no blessed like God. Blessed like God, there ain't no blessed like God. I stand, tell me back my clothes, them by. Jump them, must see, think I homeless, by. Need a doctor, cause I homesick, by. Thank the Lord, I get on home. I come to
home. Farmers Union of Teachers and National Alliance of Trade Union Congress President Belinda Wilson. Glad to have her back. No stranger to the show. Continuing this conversation, you know, I still don't know why. Every time we've had Belinda on, it's always been a fight for the teachers. When are we going to get an episode when Belinda comes on and says, everything cool, you know, Naughty? I have nothing to say. I think I'd be living in a parallel universe, but I'd still accept it.
I really hope that happens before I retire.
I hope that for you too, Belinda.
Honestly, I pray and hope that that happens before I retire. And I want to quickly, I'm not going to read the letter, but I'm going to quickly state that the University Teachers Association of Ghana Right. In a letter on June 26, 2025, they wrote to the Director General of Ghana Tertiary Education Commission in Accra, Ghana. And I only can read what the reference is. There's a condemnation of the proliferation of honorary degrees and fake academic certificates.
Oh, boy.
Even, and their own Ghana, there's a newspaper called a subscription called the Africa Report. Fake diplomas. Ghana faces an epidemic of academic fraud. And guess what it says, though? Ghana's political elite are routinely using fake academic credentials to secure prestigious positions and social status.
I think this ties into what you said, Belinda, about the vetting. We do know that in his a statement that was released, the Minister of Education, Mr. Cooper, talked about this rigorous vetting and education. We're talking identity verification. We're talking verifying their degrees. We're talking about their licenses. We're talking about whether or not there was any, you know, disciplinary history. We're talking about criminal background checks. We're talking about child safeguarding clearance. We're talking about their employment history, reference checks, medical screening, immigration work permit eligibility, English language competence, however that's necessary. And also the orientation to our Bahamian curriculum. I mean, when is that going to happen? How is that going
to happen? Not only our Bahamian curriculum, but our Bahamian culture. And
our Bahamian culture.
And I'm not casting any aspersions, but I have to say what the facts are. One out of five Ghanaian women are married before the age of 18. 3% are married before the age of 15. So if I'm coming from a culture where an under 18-year-old looks like an adult to me, I say no more.
Yeah, no, I think
I say no more.
No, we understand that there are the rigorous vetting has to be exceedingly rigorous. But not only that, I mean, can the ministry, it sounds, we haven't gotten a timeline, right? So they're not saying to us whether or not there's potentially this in other countries a week from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, whether they're planning it for this term. Do we even know what this agreement
is? According to the Foreign Affairs Minister of Ghana, the man say this year, 2026, school open August 24th.
And
2026, he said the Bahamas is ready to receive teachers from Ghana. And he said they're ready to receive the 300 Ghanaian teachers this year. This year is 2026.
The minister also talked about, he said, cultural sensitivity training and a comprehensive orientation, as well as a six-month immersion program. So I'm trying to figure out how does this work. They don't complete the program, but they're in the classrooms. I'm trying to figure out how we're planning this.
Listen, my dear. The Bahamian students and a few others, non-Bahamians, who go to orientation every year for the Ministry of Education, a two-day orientation, all they see is confusion. There's a pretty ceremony. Come and the cameras come and they take pictures and we grin. And afterwards, you have 200 persons looking in your face for their letters of appointment and their letters of posting. Oh, we only have 20 letters, but you got 200 people sitting here. You didn't know these 200 people were coming here August the 22nd to an orientation, and they need their letters because school is opening in the next few days. Yeah. So if you are unable to process Bahamian students what came from UB in a timely manner, how are you going to do this vigorous vetting? What this orientation is that you're going to be doing? Because I can say to you that I've recommended to the Ministry of Education for years and years that when the expatriate teachers come, they shouldn't just come to an orientation and sit for 2 days and you post them in a school I think they should even do Bahama House.
I agree. That sounds like a great idea.
Other immersions. So if you're unable to have a proper orientation for Bahamian students, tell me when you're gonna have a proper orientation for 300 Ghanaians. The next thing is, we have Cuban teachers. Y'all remember, not last year, year before 2024 and 2023, I brought to the public's attention that there were Cuban teachers who could not speak a lick of English. Right. I'm telling you, some of them are still in the service now, battling, and I could point out the school. I could tell you the teacher's name and everything, where the principal had to take the timetable from the Cuban teacher who's supposed to be teaching English.
But I have texts coming in right now, Belinda, saying, listen, my godchild has been trying to get in the system for 2 years, graduated with the honors from UB, interviewed, okay, rinse and repeat, over and repeatedly with no results.
Please, I think Purdy Simon send her name and number to me on her subject so I could add it to the list that I'm going to, because I was actually going to send the list to the director today, but I'll hold it until about Wednesday. So if it's anybody else who's listening to this show and you're Bahamian or non-Bahamian and you're here with the right documentation, please reach out so that education personnel can look at you to see how best we can get the teacher shortage dealt with.
Pearly, I know Pearly's just chimed in, and I know Pearly has, you know, family members that are educators and administrators. Pearly, what's your take on all of this, man?
I never supported Belinda so much like I'm doing right now on this. I think it's a slap in the teacher's face. And hearing her talk now more, even is infuriating me even more about the way they're doing this. You have to hear it from a diplomat through social media, no real consultation. And that has been
foolishness.
There's been a problem for too long. For too long. And it has to fix. How can you do that? But you know, you come out to vote, you know, vote one other way. So probably, you know, progress. You get what you vote for. Ooh, I said that loud.
You did.
The truth is the truth, and you just move on. I want to say a couple of things.
Go ahead.
What's factual before we okay. The other thing is in Ghana, they have 1.2 million school-age children who are out of school. They have 20% of dropouts or they never enrolled. They have 71% who only complete primary school. They have 47% that complete lower secondary. That's what we call junior high. So that's grade 7 to 9. They have 35% that complete upper secondary. So they have more challenges than what we have. Furthermore, their low learning outcomes, they say nearly 2/3 of their primary students lack basic math and reading proficiency. So are we just looking for quantity or are we looking for quality?
That's a great question. That is a good question. What we want to know too,
and then I'll pause. We want to know, okay, we already have the concern about Ghanaians having fake documents and having forged teacher certificates. This is what they say in their media and information. I didn't make this up. So what we are concerned with also is the degrees, the ones that are really earned, who they say will be coming here, are their degrees equivalent to the degrees that we have in this Western world on this side? So even that vetting will take more time than a couple of weeks between now and August when school is supposed to open, because there has to be an equivalency. Someone has to assess those degrees. They have to look at those transcripts to see if we have test and measurement. So is the test and measurement module that we have done at UB or the US colleges and universities or the colleges and universities in the UK and Canada, are they equivalent to whatever it was that they may have done in Ghana or in other African states? So these are real questions. See, and you know what bothers me? And I keep saying this over and over. Oh, Belinda always rowing in the public. Okay, if you would engage me in private, in a meeting, not private, me and you, but the union, say, hey, my president, come. Bring one or two of your officers. We have an idea. Right. Let us sit and look at this idea and give us some recommendations. And we want to look at what y'all give. We want to look at what we have. And let's come together with a document that we could go publicly together and say, boy, the union has worked with education. And this is what we came up with. And everybody's on board. Why is that so difficult to do?
Belinda, real quick, Belinda.
If you want Belinda to stop rowing, that's what you do.
Belinda, real quick, Mr. Producer just hit me and said he is in on email where they can send that. He said that the numbers are surprising. Like the phones are blowing up. They want to get in contact with you.
Yeah, let them send it right to my phone, 376-4002. Tell them send it by WhatsApp. Don't call. Send it by WhatsApp. I'll clear all the WhatsApps between now and midnight, and I'll respond to each of them.
Repeat the number again for us, Belinda.
I'll add them to the list, and I won't send the list until Wednesday.
And the number again?
376-4002. No, I don't have no secretary answering that. That's me directly.
That is the number you requested, text us. So please do your due diligence, follow up with Ms. Wilson.
Yeah, and go please tell them to send their full name, whatever their degree is, and the subject that they teach on a telephone contact. They can put all that in one message and send it to me. So their full name, what the degree or subject is that they teach, on a phone contact.
Super.
It would have been great. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Pearlie. Go ahead.
How many teachers do you lose a year to private schools, to the private sector? Just who stop teaching every year? Is there a big number of
that? I would say we lose about 20 to 30 per year with resignations. But then when you talk about retirement, okay, we would have between 45 and 60 retirements annually.
Okay. I mean, money, they don't like working in the public school sector. I'm trying to set a little argument I had with somebody.
Many of them have left for private schools. The private schools may not be paying them as much as public is, but then they have the pension plans, they have the insurance, they have smaller class sizes, they have parental involvement. You have a lot who also did human resource management. So if you see like a big hotel open or a big company, some insurance companies, hotels, we would lose them to them. One or two may have left and gone to the U.S. or Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you have one or two say, hey, I'm getting married and my husband is not from the Bahamas and I'm moving over there or whatever.
All right, I got a couple of texts.
Just one more quick question, Naughty, then I can shut them out. In listening to you, Belinda, from what I gather, my math, they probably, if they retaining the Cuban teachers, if they have the other 60 or so from UB and any other teachers, you probably say you maybe fall short 100 teachers.
I would say between maybe 100 to 130, but I don't want to get too technical teacher.
No, don't. I'm just.
But I don't want to get too technical as a teacher, but I don't take the 300 on face value.
Gotcha. That's okay.
I need them to show me the timetables, the number of students in the classes. I need to see what subjects or electives are being offered in each school. And Miss Iris Pinder taught me how to staff a school. I'll be able to look at those numbers and say if you overstaff or understaff. And so I believe there's some challenges also in that area.
So this is the question here. I hear the government told me they're going to Guyana. Ghana. When I went to school, the foreign teachers we had were English, Canadian, and within the Caribbean, Jamaican, Trinidadians, Guyanese. Why are we not looking at, are these countries having that much of a shortage that we can't tap out of their resources to get teachers as opposed to gain 5,600 and I think 82 miles, you say, away?
Well, actually, from the press release that was sent out from the ministry, they're saying that they're looking at Ghana, They're looking at the UK. They're looking at the US. I also understand, and I'm trying to get my hand on it, I understand that the government signed something called, I think it's United Mobility Agreement, something to do with countries not taking like workers from each other.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my hand on a copy of that.
If there's a shortage or something like that.
Because what you do is you're taking away from your Caribbean counterparts.
Yeah.
And so you're making them short.
So that could probably be the reasons why they're not going to Jamaica or Trinidad. Like, I mean, I had a Jamaican geography teacher, English teachers. I'm just wondering if because of that, they're not going out to Jamaica or, say, Trinidad.
Okay, but Pearlie, Mike still won't go back to the Bahamas. Okay, we have a teacher's cadet program. So I said to this minister and the last five ministers, let's expand that program. Let's identify those children early. Let's give them a full scholarship to UB, and let's give them a stipend, a monthly stipend. We have teachers in the service now. They are in the classrooms every day with the teachers. Some of them want to do teaching, but they don't have the qualification. So let's give them some funding for them to be able to attend classes on a 2 days out of the week, 3 days out of the week. And they're already in. We have some teachers who have been teachers' aides now for about 18 to 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So they've seen how the teachers teach. They just don't have the knowledge that the teacher has, but they already see the technique. They see the group work, the individual work. They see how the teacher revise with the students. They help mark the papers, all of that. Oh, and MJ and Naughty, remember I told you I like to be right, that they had only given $56,000 for in-service award.
Right.
They gave for in-service, for tuition, there were four things on that line item. They gave $155,200 and something.
Oh, wow.
Escapes me now. But $155,000, and they pegged it. They gave $155,000 last year, $155,000 this year, $155,000 2026, 27, and 2027, 2028. So how is the government saying that they are serious about teachers getting the qualification that they need? In-service teachers, I'm talking about now, when you've only allocated $155,000 for in-service and for tuition assistance for in-service teachers, they are not serious.
Meanwhile, we don't know exactly, you know, what the agreement with Ghana Main Compass, you know, what the salary looks like, housing, crop, like what's being included in this agreement that they're offering to Ghana.
I'm gonna say to you that they have to buy the round trip tickets for them and their families to come to the Bahamas. So you go and you calculate with the amount of the ticket times 300. Okay, in our right now for rental assistance, $700 is given for rental assistance, and we've negotiated a much higher amount. So I intend to sign off this agreement very shortly, or else it can be hell to pay.
Well, the minister says you're close, eh? He says you're close.
It can be hell to pay, I can tell you. Okay. Uh-huh. So let's just throw out a figure of $1,200 for the rent times 300. Okay, we have negotiated a geographical posting allowance. That allowance is for them to be able to get to put their vehicles and their personal items on the boat, for them to turn on their light, the water, the phone. That's $3,600.
Okay.
From the contracts that I've seen from expat teachers, if it's 2 years, but some of 1 year, very few, but 2 years and 3 year contracts, they get a 10% gratuity at the end of those contracts. And based on the policy, they can get up to 9 years contracts. So listen, so you could find millions of dollars to bring some people from another part of the world who we even ain't sure what their qualification is, what their English language proficiency is, what how it is that they can assist us when their own educational system leaves a lot to be desired, but you don't even want to give an additional increment in a raise for teachers.
Wow.
It cannot be right. But payments first.
Belinda, I want to thank you. I mean, I'm getting the sign from Mr. Producer. It's time to wrap. So I got the news coming up, but I do want to thank you for being so candid as always and being so available to Talking Heads and keeping the nation abreast as to what's going on with the teachers. Obviously, we got to keep an eye on it still because you haven't put pen to paper yet, so they need to do what they need to do before that pen goes to the paper. And I'm glad you brought us up to snuff as to the minute, correct?
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you so much.
And you come back and tell us in full detail.
Solidarity, teachers. Solidarity forever.
Yeah, and I agree. Bahamian educators should come first, absolutely, in this country.
I want to thank Belinda Wilson again, and obviously for everybody who called in and chimed in and texted in earlier on. We appreciate your contributions. For MJ, for Pearly, this is your boy Naughty. We will see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads on Guardian Radio.
Dead my ass and I won't call her back. We play some race straight. From the island, I ain't from no state. I come in home. It ain't no place like 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 home.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale. At John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Dive in hot on Buffalo Ranch. Buffalo Ranch, hey, Buffalo Ranch. A crispy ranch chicken sandwich with buffalo sauce on the side. Buffalo on the side. For just $8.95, get messy with it and dunk it how you want it. It's finger looking good.
Everybody dunk.
Hey kids, are you the Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp? July 27th to 31st at the Kendall Isaacs Gym, 2 to 5 p.m. daily, and all p.m. for boys and girls from 5 to 18. Come enjoy the thrills of the big game alongside NBA legends and current superstars Sweet Bells Thompson, Michael Jr., Klay Thompson, Buddy Hield, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Registration forms available now at the Seventh Day Adventist offices on Tony Williams Darling Highway. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp.
No budget for vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.